Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as usual on Friday morning, is Andrew Skousen, and we're going to be going over the latest World Affairs Brief, which deals with what's going on in the economy. And certainly, good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you again.
That's what are we going to be talking about? Are we going to be talking about the economy this morning? What are we going to start out with?
Yes, that's right. That's the main story in the brief this week. My dad calls it the economy. How bad is it really? He says, I have a great deal of respect for the work of John Williams, who publishes in shadowstats.com. People can look at that website and sign up for John Williams' work. It's actually mostly quite valuable. Joel says that John Williams has done more than any other economist to expose the artificially low consumer price index, the CPI, in regards to inflation. Recently, Mr. Williams published a very long report detailing the chronic and unsolvable problems with the U.S. economy, ending with yet another prediction for a collapse of the dollar in 2014.
To worship the beast.
So while every chart that Williams publishes concerning the historical and current state of the dollar is correct, his conclusion that collapse is inevitable this year doesn't necessarily follow from the data, especially when so much of the economy is manipulated and controlled. Before jumping into the details, Joel says, let me give this personal assessment of the economy. We have two distinct economies in this country, as do most other developed nations, the real economy and the speculative economy. And there's perhaps only a 20% overlap between them. Here's what he means by the speculative economy. This is where all the new money is deposited and invested. For the most part, it is the exclusive domain of the rich and powerful and those that have insider connections. The speculative markets are huge and contain all the highly leveraged and high-risk Ponzi schemes that conservative investors shun, such as derivatives, naked shorts, paper contracts, and gold and silver, as well as the legitimate but highly leveraged hedge funds, future markets, and foreign exchange markets, Forex. The speculative markets are full of bubbles waiting for a serious crisis to come along. Fortunately, the real economy is somewhat insulated from all this. Only about 20% of this high-flying money gets spent in the real economy, where returns on investment are much lower and where little leveraging is allowed. The real economy. This is the economic world in which we all live and work, brick-and-mortar stores, factories, and other useful services. Right now, this economy is in a permanent slowdown, and that is actually good, not bad, when you compare it to the dangerous bubbles we have gone through. I say it's good because the slower growth is more stable, and it's how an economy should look when not driven by a lot of debt. People and businesses need to get used to the way things are. Things aren't going to get a whole lot better since there will continue to be mild inflation boosting some portions of the economy, like housing. With that said, there are several long-term negative factors that are going to continue to put deflationary pressures on the real economy. One, in the 4 or 5 years since the mortgage bubble burst, millions of Americans have lost jobs and have had to take lower-paying jobs in order to survive. Many of the quote-unquote fat jobs, even in the financial sector, are gone and probably not coming back. Even union workers have seen a lot of their pay and benefits cut through the numerous bankruptcies, the only way to break onerous union contracts. For many who have jobs, underemployment is the new norm. Hardly anyone has gotten a wage increase during this last period, so the effects of inflation have been slowly eating at people's purchasing power. Fuel prices alone have diverted billions to oil companies and away from normal consumer purchases. The largest and heretofore most productive demographic of group in America, the baby boomers, are retiring. They'll be making less in retirement and therefore spending less, and there are fewer behind them to take their place. This is another permanent dent in the economy. Related to this is the steeply falling birth rate, which also means less productive people are coming onto the economy. Since Social Security is no longer self-supporting, the government's welfare deficits are going to increase in the next decade as fewer productive workers pay into the system. Fourth, hundreds of stores across the nation are closing for good, while other major retail chains are shedding outlets in slow areas around the country. We've all seen Sears, Kmart, Best Buy, and JCPenney that are among the big names in American retail that could entirely disappear, along with the millions in tax revenue for their state sales taxes. This will all lead to more state financial distress. CNBC reported that another 300 major retail stores are set to close this year and warned that no new indoor or shopping malls have been built in the United States since 2006, according to real estate executive Rick Caruso. The main reason brick-and-mortar stores are in trouble is due to the increased internet buying, a trend that is bound to get stronger. Fifth, crime has been increasing since 2011, particularly among urban areas. Crime adds lots of hidden costs to the economy in damages, stolen revenue, jittery customers, and moving costs as businesses have to relocate around bigger problem areas. Even the rural areas are no longer safe as meth labs flee the cities, bringing a marked increase in rural home invasions and theft. The ethnic group with the largest proportion of criminals is Hispanic right now. Much of this is due to the failure of the Obama administration to seal the border with Mexico and arrest and prosecute illegals who commit crimes. The next highest crime group as a percentage of demographic is that of young blacks. And much of that is due to the fact that more than any other minority group, blacks have suffered the effects of being raised in homes without fathers, with single moms on welfare. Many black laborers in the trades have been displaced by hardworking and skilled Hispanics. On a slightly positive note, housing prices are on the upswing. That's good news for those who are still thinking about moving, but not so good for those wanting to buy. The buy and sell figures are still fluctuating quarterly, but overall the trend will keep going up for the following reasons. One, the market has largely cleared the inventory of foreclosures, and so there are far fewer distressed homes to buy at a bargain, unless you're looking at dying cities like Detroit. Second, millions of high school and college graduates are coming onto the housing scene each year, and because of the scarceness of jobs, they can't afford to buy and are having to rent, sometimes for years longer than anticipated. This has made rentals hard to find and more expensive. As real estate values start increasing, speculators have moved back into home buying in a major way to capitalize on rising values and on the better rental income. All of these forces are slowly putting upward pressure to build new homes. Third, the cost to build new homes has not gone down with the fall in home prices. And that is why new home construction has not rebounded to the degree that used homes have.
Andrew, we're going to the break. You hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Skelton right here at Radio Liberty.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Tri Property Management in Greeley reminds us in the last year, 52% of students have hit, bullied, or taunted fellow classmates. These children believe it's okay to hit or threaten a person who angers them. Bullying is like torture to some kids. Let's stop the hatred. This message is from Tri Property Management in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or visit triplacestolive.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and we're presenting Joel's analysis of the remark by John Williams in his latest article there at shadowstats.com. John Williams thinks that the dollar is going to collapse, the economy is going to collapse this year. Andrew, you pick up the story, and Joel disagrees with that concept. Go ahead.
That's right. And Joel is currently going through about his own analysis of where he sees the economy is right now. Talking about the upswing in housing prices, he says that the cost to build a new home has not gone down with the fall in home prices, and that is why new home construction has not rebounded to the degree that used homes have. What is selling right now are new homes in the cheapest category, below $250,000. But very little has blossomed in the mid-range of $300,000 to $600,000. Condos are where some of the fastest growth is, since they can cater to the new home buyer with the least cost. New homes have traditionally driven the U.S. economy upward, as residential construction trades and sales of furnishings most directly affect the real economy. But I'm projecting growth in this market to be steady and modest, says Joel, short of government opening the floodgates of easy regulations. Bankers are still very skittish about getting back into mortgages with zero down, so only a strong down payment will get you into a house right now. And that promotes savings, which is good. What we have overall is a kind of split economy. On the one side, there are those that can't keep pace with inflation and or who are unemployed or underemployed. On the other side are those who are downstream of government money. Eventually, we are all downstream, but by the time it gets to us, prices are already rising. Notice that the restaurants and movie houses are still full, and so nothing in today's world is comparable to 1929, except the slight rise in the homeless. Even those in quote-unquote poverty have a lot of welfare and food stamp benefits that weren't as prevalent during the Great Depression. Speaking of that depression, there is a graph circulating the internet showing an almost perfect correlation between stock prices now and 1929, just before the crash. We have a link in the brief for it. However, this graph has been highly manipulated to show too much close correlation. The only thing that is valid is the steadily rising stock market due to easy availability of money in the speculative sector. That part is true. But bubbles don't burst automatically at a certain point. They keep going up until someone triggers a collapse, and it doesn't always work on the first try. The Fed triggered the market collapse in 1929 by cutting back on credit to banks and suggesting that they start calling in all those margin contracts. Everyone was buying on margins, so the domino effect happened very fast. But the Fed isn't currently showing any signs of cutting back money to the big banks. Besides, there are thousands more market watchers who keep track of the Fed's every move than there were at the beginning of the last century. The Fed would hardly escape the blame if they cut the money supply enough to collapse the market. Let's now move to the summary of John Williams' dire predictions and Joel's response. First, extraordinary economic distress, financial crises, and panic likely will dominate 2014, says Williams. He says, quote, "Nothing is normal, not the economy, not the financial markets, not the financial system, and not the political system." Joel says, true. The year ahead will be an extraordinarily difficult time with a confluence of already intensifying crises and likely panics pummeling the moribund economy, roiling the markets, and destabilizing the financial and political systems, end quote. Joel says, likely panics are not a foregone conclusion. While I do think it is likely that there will be a major stock market correction this year, it is by no means certain, and even if the markets did go down 10 or 15%, that is no guarantee the entire economy will collapse. We've had nearly a dozen major market corrections since 1929, and none have collapsed the economy. John Williams again, quote, with the federal government and Federal Reserve locked into their respective systemic destructive fiscal and monetary policies, a related continuing massive loss of global and domestic confidence in the U.S. dollar should lead to an outright dumping of the U.S. currency in the global market, setting the initial stages of a hyperinflationary Great Depression. The timing of the hyperinflation onset by the end of 2014 remains in place, with the odds of that occurrence estimated at 90%. End quote. Joel says, this is the crux of his speculation, and it's wrong. First, there is no massive loss of global confidence in the U.S. dollar. If there were, the dollar would be dropping like a rock on the Forex markets right now, and instead it is holding relatively steady. That's because other countries are inflating their currencies and using similar monetary policies as the Fed to keep their economies afloat. Only nations like Argentina and Venezuela, which inflate like bandits, see their currency values dropping like a rock. A collapse of the dollar through lack of confidence does not set the stage for hyperinflation. There has to be a huge percentage inflation of the money supply to cause hyperinflation, and the base of dollars worldwide is at least 10 times larger than any other currency. Joel estimates it at least $200 trillion in and out of circulation. The U.S. only counts the dollars in circulation. That means the U.S. could create $20 trillion per year, and it wouldn't exceed the 10% monetary inflation level. That's hardly hyperinflation, and the U.S. is creating only about $3 trillion per year, so they have a lot of room to maneuver still. Back to the Williams quote. The forecast of a U.S. hyperinflation has been in place since at least 2006. Again, at this onset to the new year, the hyperinflation timing remains in place for 2014. By its nature, a currency panic, the likely proximal trigger of the hyperinflation event, is difficult to time. With all the underlying fundamentals for the collapse of the U.S. dollar having been in place for some time, the potential for an imminent break in the system also has been and remains in place. Joel says, definitions of inflation. This is important because hyperinflation is thrown around too easily. Williams correctly notes that, quote, inflation is an increase in the prices of consumer goods and services, usually tied to an increase of money in circulation. In terms of hyperinflation, there have been a variety of definitions used over time. The circumstance envisioned ahead is not one of double or triple digit annual inflation, but more along the lines of 7 to 10 digit inflation seen in other circumstances during the last century. Under such circumstances, the currency in question becomes worthless, as seen in Germany, the Weimar Republic in the early 1920s, in Hungary after World War II, in the dismembered Yugoslavia of the early 1990s, and more recently in Zimbabwe, where the aggregate pace of hyperinflation likely was the most extreme ever seen, end quote. Joel says, but Williams has not made his case for either the currency panic trigger nor the mechanism for hyperinflation. Currency panics are almost always the result of a sudden contraction of the money supply after a central bank has flooded the markets with money and driven prices up too high. An inflationary panic, on the other hand, is strictly caused by continued high inflation with no end in sight, causing people to flee that currency in favor of another that isn't inflating so much. Joel says, I have a hard time believing that someone as capable as Williams, who puts out reams of data on inflation, hasn't ever published anything about the two crucial aspects of inflation that must be present to have hyperinflation. Printing fiat money is only the first part. He's not alone here. I did a search on the internet on various histories about the German inflation and the more recent Zimbabwe inflation. Not a single researcher mentions or describes the mechanism by which people were able to keep pace with the rising prices so they could get to the point where people were carting around wheelbarrows of currency denominated in the millions. That's a crucial oversight, and it doesn't happen just because people need more money. Think about it. If inflation started to double prices every month right now, where would you get the new money to cope with that? Obviously, if you can't raise your salary, you simply can't pay the new prices, period. And you stop buying. The economy begins to sink. Here's how hyperinflation happens. First, the government starts printing money and injecting it into circulation through spending on an increasing number of government services and projects. All governments do this nowadays. But when it gets over 15% or 20%, people really start to notice and complain. Those who have first use of the new money evade the inflation tax because they always buy before prices have adjusted to the new money. Over time, all price levels start rising, not just the products the first users buy. As long as inflation happens slowly, people have time to adjust. We in America have been adjusting slowly to somewhere between 5 and 9% inflation for the past 30 years. But if it goes higher than 15 or 20%, something new and very bad starts to happen. An inflation mentality sets in, encouraging people to spend rapidly before prices rise. That's the start of hyperinflation. Second, at the point where price increases become painful, the majority of ordinary people have to forego spending on many things. Portions of the economy begin to stagnate, while others keep rising and people start complaining heavily to their representatives about wealth inequalities and everyone becomes poor. The government begins to take action by spending money on direct payments to relieve the suffering through welfare, pensions, and transfer payments, all indexed to inflation. Eventually, people start demanding automatic pay raises, and the companies start implementing rapid price increases to keep their people paid. That's how the cycle starts. Eventually, the inequalities and hardships induce government to start mandating pay raises indexed to inflation. In Weimar, Germany, the government actually took over a large portion of wages in the industrial districts after France commandeered all production in order to pay war reparations that Germany had defaulted on. Then they implemented welfare, automatic pension increases, unemployment compensation, and so forth. Without this automatic increase of income payments, there can be no hyperinflation. Without automatic increases, people just can't keep up with inflation, and they never arrive at the point where they can get their hands on currency denominated in the millions. How all of the economists can miss this crucial point is beyond me. It's so elementary. Back to the John Williams quote. Extraordinary financial intervention by the federal government and Federal Reserve in 2008 saved the U.S. banking system from collapse. But those actions did little more than to push mortal problems for the economy and financial system a couple of years down the road. Joel says, true, but it might be much more than a couple of years down the road. Continuing the quote, those actions also had inflationary consequences, Joel says, but which were masked by the tremendous deflationary effects caused by the collapse of the housing bubble, continued the quote, and they limited the flexibility of federal government and Federal Reserve options in addressing future crises, accelerating the approach of a day of reckoning for the U.S. dollar into the near future, end quote. Joel says, Williams has a good point here. The government is running out of options, but he underestimates the longevity and power of the tools they have left. The housing bubble effectively destroyed one of government's major ways to induce growth. First, the government induced banks to start handing out loans to unqualified buyers, requiring by legislation that banks, quote, serve poor minorities, end quote. And they reduced bank loan restrictions to make that legal. They also gave banks ready access to new money at the Fed and reduced their liability by guaranteeing most home loans. The banks and Wall Street did the rest with illegal and unethical packages of mortgage-backed securities. Once that fiscal mechanism for growth had harvested all the potential home buyers, it was inevitable that the housing bubble would collapse, first through a slowdown of building and then by a wave of foreclosures. Home loans all but dried up. You'd think they had learned their lesson, but government is already starting to loosen the regs again to stimulate borrowing. This time, I don't think they'll ever get close to what they did before 2008, so that mechanism is limited, as Williams maintains. The Fed has already driven interest rates down to near zero for banks and below the real rate of inflation for residential loans, meaning banks are actually losing money on home loans. So there's little room there for more liquidity in that monetary policy. What's left is either raw inflation or the Fed buying U.S. debt with fiat money, euphemistically called quantitative easing. Currently, they are using both of these, plus some under-the-table money creation to keep the EU and Britain afloat. Back to Williams, quote, a looming crisis in the U.S. dollar, a panicked sell-off in the U.S. currency in the months ahead, remains the likely trigger for the early stages of hyperinflation. A sharp decline in the exchange rate value of the dollar would spike dollar-denominated commodity prices, such as oil and related inflation.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen. And before we go on, Andrew, will you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad, subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and get those great books he has on making preparations for the very difficult times that lie ahead. Strategic relocation, because people need to know where to be living. The big cities are not going to be safe. And then, well, you tell them about the book. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, great. The best way to get the World Affairs Brief is to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. There people can sign up for the brief directly. It's an easy process online. It's also good for them to learn how to log into the World Affairs Brief website after they do create their username and password, because they can access there all of the past briefs. We keep an archive there. Even if people don't want to sign up for the brief, it's useful to go to that website occasionally. We are always updating the news feed on that website, which highlights some of the news stories that are not always played up well in the news. Some of the alternate news sources that we are looking at for our news, we post those for people's help. Also, there's a link there to our other website, joelskousen.com. People can go to that website to see all of the current works of Joel Skousen, the most popular which, like you say, Dr. Stan, is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. This book highlights the threats that we see facing us. It goes into those in some detail so that we can then explain which places in the U.S. we feel will not be hit as hard in the coming hard times. We do expect hard times to come, and those will be centered around the high-density population areas. So we recommend people find an alternate place to live out the hard times away from those. And we recommend several strategies and strategic relocation. Once people find a safe place, they'll probably want to get one of our other two books, The Secure Home, which is a 700-page book that outlines everything about securing a residence and property and how to prepare it for hard times, including alternate energy systems that we recommend, and other sources of ways of preparing things against social unrest and the other threats facing us in the future. If people want just a small-scale remodel, they can get the High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose Safe Room in the Home. This is a smaller booklet. It's the cheapest of the three books, and it outlines with do-it-yourself plans how to create a single room that is a high-security room in the home, as well as a small-scale alternate energy system so that you can keep yourself and your supplies and your family safe through a crisis, at least in a basic way. Those books, like I say, are all available on joelskousen.com. If people want to call in and order those, they should call Radio Liberty directly, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And we do believe that people should begin making preparations. We don't know when the difficult times are going to come, but obviously something severe is going to happen, whether economically, whether an EMP attack, a plague of some sort, a financial collapse. We're just going to have to wait and see it being played out. We go right ahead, Andrew.
That's right. Thank you. Well, going back to the story, we're taking apart the prognosis by John Williams, a noted economist, setting the stage for a panic inflation of a sell-off of the dollar, creating hyperinflation and a collapse of the economy at home. Joel says, Williams neglects to specifically explain what kind of trigger will cause this panicked sell-off. The only way to do it is with a massive dose of monetary creation that exceeds 20% of the overall supply of dollars. And that's not likely. With much lesser amounts, they've been able to bail out all the previous crises without even approaching hyperinflation. So what's different now? Remember that the Fed has a lot more room to inflate than other nations because the quantity of dollars worldwide is so much larger than any other currency. The Fed's inflation has been staying below 10%, so that isn't a trigger for either the collapse of the dollar or hyperinflation. What is different now is all of the Ponzi schemes that the monetary powers in both the too-big-to-fail banks and the Fed, Joel says these are actually one and the same, are involved in. The massive derivatives bubble, estimated at over $500 trillion, and the huge amounts of paper contracts in gold and silver that exceed the supply by as much as 100 times. These two bubbles could create a panic of confidence. But even that isn't likely, given that the monetary powers successfully diffused the first derivatives crisis in 2008 when they bailed out AIG. And they also control the regulatory powers that have the sole discretion to declare a default. Without a declaration of default, the derivatives contracts don't kick in. When they forced Greek debt holders, for instance, to take a 50% haircut, the EU bankers had the audacity to say Greece was not in default, thus depriving investors of access to the derivatives insurance contracts they had purchased. Slick. As for the paper gold contracts, that vastly exceeds supply somehow. The powers that be are capable of keeping the vast majority of paper contract holders of gold and silver from taking delivery, hence keeping this huge Ponzi scheme from unraveling. I suspect that's because they themselves are doing most of the trading in paper gold and using those leveraged contracts to keep the prices artificially suppressed. Williams does make a good point about how oil prices have gone up, mostly in response to a weakening dollar. But he comes to the wrong conclusion when he claims oil prices will kill the dollar. Quote, this from Williams, quote, denominated in the U.S. dollar, the price of oil in the global markets moves with an inverse relationship to the exchange rate value of the dollar, where the price of oil can gyrate wildly. Phil says, well, not really beyond 20% or so, unless a world war comes, and that really threatens ocean transport. Continue the Williams quote. Tied to supply and demand concerns and disruptions and to related political circumstances in the Middle East and among OPEC members, the changes in the exchange rate value of the U.S. dollar still account for 80% of the movement in oil prices. Joel says, while prices can vary up to 20%, that's not going to collapse the petrodollar. Neither would the threat of every other nation switching out of dollars for oil, since the U.S. controls almost half of the oil import market. Even that isn't going to happen since the U.S. has a protection racket going with Saudi Arabia and OPEC. Protection in exchange for dealing in dollars. As a hedge against his main prediction being wrong, Williams then goes for a, quote, confluence of crisis set against the U.S. dollar. Quote, if initial weakness in the U.S. dollar is not part of a currency selling panic, it likely will cascade into one, with domestic and global holders of the U.S. currency dumping it and related dollar-denominated paper assets as quickly as possible. Cash and liquid dollar-denominated paper assets are an effective overhang to the domestic U.S. money supply of more than $16 trillion. In contrast, broad money stood at about $15.5 trillion in December.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Andrew Scott.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Jensen Arms says if you only have one life to live, why not get the most out of it? There's no need to make yourself sick, dependent, and useless. Yet so many do this to themselves each day by using drugs. Let's give life a chance. Drugs are never the answer. And this message is sponsored by Jensen Arms. They're working proudly with KHNC radio station to bring you this important message. That's Jensen Arms saying, keep your...
Make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592, and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and for the final segment, go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. So, Williams then says, in response, the Federal Reserve would be forced to attempt to stabilize the domestic financial markets, including massive monetization of unwanted U.S. Treasury debt. The resulting surge in the money supply, combined with the cost push pressures from the sinking dollar, would trigger the early phase of hyperinflation. Joel says, it's no wonder he thinks hyperinflation is an imminent possibility, believing the official figures about a tiny domestic money supply of $16 trillion. That isn't even close to the real money supply, which has to include all the dollars held outside the U.S., which dwarfs the domestic supply. Even that is underestimated by the Fed at $75 trillion. Even the U.S. Treasury doesn't have a clue about how much money is out there, because so much of it is out of circulation, hidden away by foreigners who don't trust their own national currencies. In Zimbabwe, for instance, over half of all transactions are done in dollars. Every country has a huge dollar market. Moreover, the U.S. Treasury figures don't account for the pallet loads of $100 bills we reported on previously being secretly shipped to Russia, Iraq, and Afghanistan to pay off oligarchs, sheiks, and warlords. Back to Williams, quote, coincident with and likely exacerbating that crisis would be the loss of the dollar's reserve status, in turn as the early stages of runaway inflation hit an economic system unprepared and unstructured for such activity. The hyperinflation would tend to disrupt the normal flow of commerce, pushing an already depressed and faltering economy into Great Depression territory, hence the forecast of a hyperinflationary Great Depression, end quote. Well, at least he understands the stagflation effects of the initial stages of inflation, 10 to 20%, but you don't get to a complete loss of purchasing power without that automatic injection mechanism by government that has to be there to allow people to keep up with inflation. Williams now takes on quantitative easing, quote, crises continue in the U.S. financial system's solvency, as suggested by indications of mounting banking system stress and the ongoing quantitative easing by the Federal Reserve, which continues to flood the banking system with unprecedented levels of liquidity, along with significant monetization of U.S. Treasury debt. The Fed monetized 72% of 2014 net issuance of Treasury debt held by the public. The Fed's extraordinary easing and quantitative easing QE3 continues, despite a recent minor quote-unquote tapering move, which likely has no more than political window dressing for the benefit of incoming Fed Chairman Janet Yellen. She is expected to continue current Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's dollar debasement policies in conjunction with addressing ongoing systemic stresses, end quote. What Williams fails to mention is that this quote-unquote extraordinary quantitative easing that has been going on for almost 2 years hasn't collapsed the dollar, nor significantly reduced its worth relative to other currencies. He underestimates the motivation of the millions of other holders of dollars worldwide to not dump dollars. The dollar has always been their last hedge against local inflation. Even Swiss francs, which are stronger than the dollar, aren't as valued in other parts of the world because they aren't as readily exchangeable on the street. The fact that some quote-unquote tapering is happening proves my point that the Fed is very much aware of the dangers of creating too much money. They are trying to wean the bondholders off of it gradually. It probably won't go away completely, but the move does have long-term calming effects on the market. Williams is right about another thing. Quote, the Fed's primary function is to support the banking system, not the economy. As was seen in 2008, it will do everything in its power to prevent a collapse in the financial system. The excessive liquidity from QE3 is being used to prop up the banks. QE3 should continue and or be increased in the foreseeable future using the ongoing political cover of a weak economy. The Fed admits that it has no monetary tools available at present to boost economic activity. Joel says, except raw inflation, which it is still using with some restraint. Williams makes a few other good points, which I don't contest. Quote, separately, the U.S. trade deficit remains the largest in the world and an ongoing drag on the value of the dollar. Business activity appears to have turned down anew in what likely will gain formal recognition as a new recession, or the second dip of a double-dip recession. And the time for substantive government corrective action has passed, end quote. Joel says, that latter point is especially true. It's too late to pay off the debt, and there is no political will to do so even among Republicans in Congress. This week, the Republican leadership brought the debt limit up for a vote, and it passed with hardly any debate and without any conditions on spending cuts from the administration. Incredible. While House Speaker Boehner can claim that it was mostly Democrats who voted for it, he could have stopped it from coming to a vote had he wanted to fight. Boehner forever poisoned the waters of the debt debate by selling out our position during the last battle for a government shutdown by giving up without any concessions. In the process of letting Republicans take the blame for the shutdown, we forever lost our ability to bring up Obamacare for reversal as well. Well, on to some other stories here. Maybe I'll just cover these real quick. The L.A. police are getting into warrantless spying and drones. Rand Paul recommends to Texas to compromise and allow more illegals into their ranks to increase the base of Latinos voting in favor of the GOP. The Swiss had recently voted to stop unlimited immigration. And non-law enforcement agencies are buying weapons and ammo in greater bulk and quantities than we've reported before. Any of those stories interest you more, Dr. Sam? Let's switch to one of those.
No, well, we've only got about 1 minute for you to wrap up the program.
All right. Well, let's just talk real quick about the Swiss stop unlimited immigration. It was a bare majority of the Swiss people that were fed up enough with the problems of unlimited immigration to vote for enacting limits on the numbers of immigrants from certain specific Eastern European countries. Switzerland is not a full member of the EU, but its government has been acquiescing to their open immigration policies. And some 80,000 new immigrants come into Switzerland each year with the attendant problems of crime, jobs, and housing. The establishment, of course, pulled out all the stops to try and convince the Swiss to reject the growing right-wing sentiment against open immigration, and they almost succeeded. Only 0.3%, it was just a 50.3% of the majority prevailed, which does force Switzerland to go back on its quota system, to go back to its quota system. Don't expect the EU or the Swiss politicians to take no for an answer, however. They'll be back.
I'm sure they will be, because, of course, the whole idea is a world government, open borders, open immigration. Do away with national sovereignty, do away with freedom. We're out of time, Andrew. God bless. Talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dr. Sam.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Union Colony Insurance and Greedy takes the time to welcome our troops home. Remember when you see them to thank the men and women in our military service for their dedication, selflessness, and courage, and continue to pray for the safety of those still serving overseas. May God bless our troops and may God bless America. This message of appreciation from Union Colony Insurance at 1218 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 352-9500 for all your insurance needs from A to Z. Union Colony.
Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. Stan and Sydney, I believe that we are facing some very, very serious economic problems. You can't keep increasing the amount of money in circulation indefinitely. I mean, we're talking about somewhere $75 trillion to $200 trillion worth of dollars out there throughout the world, and if the countries begin dumping dollars, it's going to have a profound impact on what's going on here. It's obvious that our leaders have no intention of controlling debt. And the Republicans, you have to understand that both political parties are controlled by the same people, the small little clique that really run the world. And they run the United States. They interlock with comparable people throughout the world. The ultimate goal is a one-world government, a one-world monetary system, loss of sovereignty, and, of course, the destruction of Christianity. When you understand that is the goal of the people who really run America, it all begins to make sense. And of course, they work through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, but behind them are powerful spiritual forces. Only by understanding the spiritual forces behind what's going on can you make any sense out of the insanity that's going on today. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to read it. You need to read it several times to begin to understand what's going on. And then you need to begin to make preparations to protect yourself and your family. And that's why we certainly have Andrew Skousen on here every Friday to get you thinking about making preparations. The major cities are not going to be safe when the whole system comes down. Look at the chaos we're having simply when electricity goes out in the major cities because of the weather. But imagine what would happen if the electricity went out for weeks or months at a time, and you would have chaos. And I really fear this is what's coming, and behind everything that's going on, I believe God is going to bring judgment on America, because America has turned against God, and we are doing everything we can to destroy the Christian foundation of this country. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. That's why when most of our young people graduate from school today, probably more than only 8 or 10% are Christian. It used to be that the vast majority were. But there's a conspiracy against Christianity today. And when you understand, that's what energizes this whole incredible movement. Now, only then does it make sense. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there, live 4 hours a day, archived 24 hours. Or you can watch our DVDs, you can read our newsletters, and certainly you can we have a section there, a new section. Just below the big blue banner at the top, it says other items on the Internet. But we post several articles there every day, information which we think you're going to need to be able to survive the very difficult times that are coming. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us maintain our network of stations, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. We do 5 hours of talk radio a day, 5 days a week. We don't get paid. We don't take any compensation. In fact, we have to fund things on our own if we don't get sufficient support from our listeners. To date, while we're doing fairly well, although we could certainly use your help now if you're in a position. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us get the truth out about the fact that a small group controls both political parties and makes mockery of the electoral process and uses electronic voting machines, all of them can be rigged. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-897.